go. That's better. Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, the third. Now I'm doing it accidentally. Third chapter. Yeah. Sometimes what happens sometimes. Oftentimes, what happens is that your tongue gets wrapped around your eye teeth. And you can't see what to say. It happens to me a lot. 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. We'll talk just a little bit about prayer. Not very long this afternoon, but Paul said here, the very first thing, he said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Paul recognized that the only way he was able to do what he did in his ministry throughout his life was because of the prayer of the saints, the prayer of the church. He didn't rely just on his prayer. He didn't rely just on his relationship with Jesus Christ, although they were important to him, and he knew he had to pray. He knew he had a relationship with Christ. But he relied upon the church taking an active part in his ministry through prayer. And each of us today need the prayer of each of us. If any of us are going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our ministry or in our lives, you all have ministry, by the way. It may not be pulpit ministry, singing ministry, whatever, but you have something that you can do for God. You have ministry in that sense of the word. Maybe not a called ministry such as this, but you have ministry nonetheless. You need the prayers of others. We all need each other. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's the 5th chapter, to pray always. Pray without ceasing, it says. Well, we should pray one for another. Say, well, I don't have nothing to pray about. Well, okay, I can give you about 50 to 60 reasons just within this church. If everybody's here, we have around 65, 70 people. Pray for them. Oh, nothing else. Well, that'd take forever. Well, you don't have nothing to pray about. Pray for me. Pray for Amanda Jo. She needs God's help at her job. She wants her husband to get saved. Help her pray for her husband. But I don't have nothing to pray about, Pastor. Because you don't want anything to pray about. Can I say it this way? You're lazy. You'll learn to wear steel-toe boots before this thing's over with. No, understand, I'm not trying to get ugly or get on to you or anything. We're kind of having some fun here. But we all need each other. And we all need each other's prayers. We're not in this alone. I know y'all got Jesus. Well, yeah, you've got Jesus, and you need Jesus, and you pray to the Lord, and He understands, and He helps you, and He intercedes for you in heaven. But He also, we also need to understand that if we are all praying for one another, and especially in specific needs and specific times, a lot more will be accomplished. I know it takes just a grain of mustard seed. I understand that. And it's hard sometimes to muster up a grain of mustard seed. Come on now. Sometimes I can't get the faith I need from me, but maybe you could. You know, pray for one another. So Paul understood that what he did for Christ was partly because of the prayers of the saints. You may touch God in an area I don't even realize I need to touch God in. And you saw something, or the Spirit of the Lord dealt with you about something, and you began to pray about it, and God then answered it, and the person that He answered it for never even realized that it was a prayer answered. You understand what I'm trying to say? Sometimes there's needs that God reveals to you, even about individuals within your circle, and they may not have recognized that as a need or a reason to pray.
You did, because God showed you, and you prayed about it. God answered, and they got their need met. Although, and maybe there was at a point in their life they just didn't know how to pray, or what, you know, they just didn't know. What am I going to do? And you knew the answer was with God. And maybe they was at that point in their life they just couldn't pray. Have you ever been there? Just couldn't pray. I just can't pray. I know you may cry out, Lord, help me, but you can't go in, lock your door, shut yourself in, start praying and really seeking God. Maybe it's the devil putting obstacles in your path. Maybe it's just the circumstance that you're facing, and you just feel so much despair and discouragement that you just can't get. Have you ever been there? I have. But I also found out if I'll press on through, usually if you'll go ahead and get on your knees, start praying, something will break. You'll break. And you'll start weeping before the Lord, and God will take care of it. May not have to say anything other than, Lord, help me. So it's good. Prayer is important. So Paul knew that he needed the prayers of the church. Now, as a pastor, know I need your prayers. We can't lead even this small body of people without your prayers. I need your help. And that's not using you as a crutch. That's not saying I'm weak. It's just that understanding that this is a real responsibility, very sacred responsibility. It's a difficult responsibility to lead people down the paths of righteousness for the Lord's sake, and to help them stay where they need to be in God and find the right things to say from the pulpit. You know, somebody said, "Well, that's just easy." Brother Don used to tell me, "Brother Stone said, I think you could just preach anywhere." I said, "Don, you don't know. You just don't know, son." Of course, he's older than me, so he really wasn't my son, but he's my friend, though. But Don said, "Man," he'd tell me that all the time. I said, "Don, it ain't near as easy as I." He said, "Well, you make it look so easy." I said, "It ain't easy, Don." "Yes, it is. You make it look easy, Pastor." I said, Don, you make that guitar playing look easy. But it's not. I couldn't play a guitar. I used to try, and I never could learn how. I didn't have the patience to learn how. I wanted to pick it up and play the hot licks immediately. I didn't want my fingers to get sore. I didn't want to put the work in. It's work to learn how to play a guitar. But he had, not only did he put the work in, he had the anointing of God in it. So the same thing with pastoring. I have to put the work in, but if it's without the anointing, it's not going to do us any good. Got to have some anointing. I'm not an orator. I almost flunked speech class in ninth grade. I did. Mr. McDonald, you know his wife, Miss McDonald. I made it funny. Yeah. And they honestly, they did. Just right there at Coker Road in 177, they had a farm. She was a home ec teacher at Tecumseh, and he was a French teacher and a speech teacher, and he wasn't much of a teacher at all, but he got paid to do it anyway at Shawnee Junior High when I was there. You remember Mr. McDonald, don't you? Oh, I do. I had his French class, too. My French name's Felix. Bonjour, mademoiselle. Comment allez-vous? You don't know what that means. It sounds sexy, don't it? I'm having fun now. I went from being a preacher to being a stand-up comic. It feels good. I, as your pastor, to keep from being stupid up here, I need your prayer. Humor doesn't hurt anything, but that's all I ever did was get up here and tell jokes. You wouldn't get any spiritual edification out of it. You may have a great time. But after a while, you'd begin to grumble and complain and say, "I wish he'd do something besides just tell jokes." You know, his jokes aren't even that good. Paul needed the intercession of the church. It's still valid today. We need the intercession of the church. We all need the prayers of other believers, and other believers need our prayers. I should pray for you. You should pray for me. We should pray for one another. And I said earlier, it should go outside even these four walls. We're part of the household of faith. There's other, you know, used to, or there's been times, I shouldn't say used to, there's times when sometimes we feel like it's our four no more. I mean, it's our church, and we're going to pray for our church, and our church is the best church, and we're not going to pray for anybody else. Well, that's the wrong attitude. There's people outside this body that's part of the household of faith, and we should care about them and their needs. Amen? Because they're part of the faith. They're part of our Christian heritage. They're part of us. They're part of the body of Christ. So we should care about them. We should pray one for another. If we'll really get into prayer, we'll frustrate the devil. We'll frustrate his plans for the church. He liked nothing more than to discourage you to the place that you wouldn't go to church no more. He'd love to discourage you and cause you just to quit completely. He'd love to do that. He wants you to quit. And he'll do it in subtle ways. He won't just come up to you and say, "Hey, I'm the devil, and I want you to quit going to church." Well, you're going to look at him and say, "Devil, I'm not going to quit church." But he'll do it in ways that you don't recognize that it's him saying, "Don't go to church. Don't serve God. Give up." Right? It's what he does. He's subtle about it. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. That means that he yells loud, but he don't have any much power. A toothless lion. He's toothless. Serious, he is. He's as a roaring lion. But he's also very subtle and wily. He's tricky. He's deceptive. And he'll use it on you. He'll get you discouraged and get you, and then he'll find you in a weak spot and start saying, "You need to quit, you need to give up." And you'll find yourself saying, "I knew it was going to be like this. I didn't have it this bad before I got saved." You ever heard people say that? "I never had no trouble till I got saved." Well, the devil wasn't bothering you before you got saved. He already had you. He had you right where he wanted you. He ain't going to mess that up. He's going to let you think you're happy. But you're not really happy. You don't have the peace. You don't have joy. You don't have anything the church has if you don't have Christ. So we need one another. We need faithful intercession for one another. If we'll do that, we'll frustrate the devil and we'll feel the full power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I need the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to be manifested in my life. I like it when it's manifested in the church. I actually thought, and probably if Ron would have ran the aisles, there wouldn't have been no preaching this morning. I mean, I'd have fainted, and so y'all would have shouted right over me because they're like, "Oh." I think there have been a half a dozen of us have to be picked up off the floor. I told you, I thought when you was telling that this morning class, I heard you out there. I thought, "Man, you are setting yourself up, sir. You are setting yourself up." No, my point is this. This morning, it would have took just a little bit more, and we would have had a runaway in here. There wouldn't have been any preaching, and y'all would have went home and said, "Man, we had a good service today." Now, how was that? Wasn't no preaching. That's what y'all say. We go home and no preaching. "We had a good service today. There wasn't no preaching." Well, I like them good services where there isn't no preaching. When the Spirit of the Lord begins to move and God begins to bless and God begins to break down walls and the chains are broken, because he's still the chain breaker. He still is. There's a new song out that says that very thing. I love that song. Is it Mac Brown or what that guy is? That who? Not Mac Brown. He's a football coach. But anyway, that guy on the third day guy. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Just Mac Powell. Mac Powell? Yeah. Okay. I had it close. Got Mac right. I love that song. It's a beautiful song, and it ministers to me. Have you ever heard it? I have to get it on CD. I've never owned anything by third day. They're a little bit liberal for me, but I'm just kidding. That's more of a younger generation music. But I love it. It's just a beautiful song about the power of God in people's lives. What he'll do for you. Look at Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Now, following the release of Peter and John, they've been thrown in jail. Because preaching about Jesus, they put them in jail. The church had made prayer for them and began to pray. And so they had gotten released. Peter had been filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, things changed in his life now. When he got saved, when he really got filled with the power of God, everything changed. Everything changed in his life. This denier became one of the most vocal persons for Jesus that you could ever hear. And he was bold in it. But they'd gotten thrown in jail and gotten released then. And I believe that's what that was right there. Have I missed something? The lame man had been healed. They was in the Jewish council, and they took them there. They were arrested. It says they were arrested, but they released them and commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And that's when Peter said, I have to obey God, not man. And so he said, we can't help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so verse 24 says, and when they heard that they lifted up, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it, in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that they will with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them anything of the things which he possessed with it was his own, but they all had things in things common. So they prayed. The Bible says they prayed. And things begin to change. The church was changed. Every time there was a victory, the church was changed. Their hearts were lifted up and their boldness was intensified. Maybe we don't have the boldness that we need because we're not praying, and then we're not praying to that place that we are filled once again, refilled with the Holy Ghost. We received the Holy Ghost. We received the Spirit of God when we got saved. We've had that subsequent work of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking unknown tongues, but we've left it there, and we're not praying and seeking God to that place that we are being refilled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, it's a constant refilling. It's sort of like drinking coffee from a cup. You drink it so long, what happens? The cup is empty. You gotta refill it if you want to drink some more. Well, let me bring it down to where I can really get into it. It's like drinking cold Dr. Pepper. I drank a bottle of it. If I want some more, I got to get another bottle. I don't just say, I got all I want. No, I like it. So I'll drink it, and after a while, I want some more. And that ought to be the same way with God. Forget the coffee. That stuff's bitter. Think about, I like the sweet stuff. I like Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola and RC and Pepsi and Mountain Dew. I mean, I like it all. And what I do. But you understand, if I drink a bottle of that or a cup of that, when it's empty, it ain't going to do me no good till I fill it again. Same way with getting full of the power of God. I empty out sometime. I work and I do things and I use it in ministry. Understand me? And if I don't stay in prayer, I'm not being refilled. I'll get used up. I'll get empty. I'll get dry. What happens to my Dr. Pepper cup? I leave it sitting on my desk after I've emptied it. I come back the next day. It's dry. I mean dry. The surface dried up on the edges. It's no good for nothing. And if I've left it there with ice overnight, didn't drink it all, it ain't fit to drink. It's nasty. I've tried because it might be good. That's like getting stagnant in the Holy Ghost. You might try it, but if you ain't refilled your cup, it ain't no good. You understand what they did? They stayed full of the Holy Ghost through prayer, and because of that, they could behold and they could listen to and they could see the threatenings of the Roman government. They could see the threatenings of the church, and they said, "We don't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you say. We're not listening to you. We are listening to the Holy Ghost of God. We are listening to God. We're going to say what God says say. We're going to do what God says to do. We're going to operate in power and signs and wonders and miracles because we are full of the Holy Ghost." So we got to do that. We got to refill, church. Got to refill. That's sort of what you come to church for, isn't it? To get filled back up. I mean, you could do that at home. It's always better to do it at church. Stay filled of God, understand? But you come to church for just a little bit more. You might have your cup 3/4 full, but you come to church, it goes, it runs over. You ever heard that song, "Drinking from the Saucer"? Drink from the saucer because my cup's overflowed. Oh, that's what we need to do, church. We need to see God do things in the church. A fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit is a part of God's will and provision for those who receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A fresh refilling is part of God's will for you. It really is. It says they'll help keep us from evil. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There's no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with all the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Aren't you glad that God knows that you're going to go through some things? And with whatever you go through, the temptation, the trial, temptation here would be temptation to sin, or it may even be temptation here sometimes it's just a trial. You got to find, I don't know which is which in that particular passage of Scripture because I didn't restudy it right quick. Temptation can be either temptation to sin or it can be speaking to things in your life that are trials to you, situations. Whatever it is, God makes a way. So somebody says, "Well, I couldn't help myself. I had to sin." You're going against the Word of God right there because the Word of God says there's no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful. That God is faithful. He'll help you with it. So when you just say, "Well, I had to do it," no. Maybe you had to do it, and that's because you were led astray by the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of life. Thought you could do it on your own. I don't need God to help me to resist this. I can do it, and the next thing you know, you fall. But God is faithful. "But with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Isn't that great about God? He doesn't leave you out there to... He doesn't do you like there's a movie here a while back. I watch it every time. It's on practice called Hondo, and it's John Wayne. This little boy out there at the creek fishing, and the little boy told him basically, "I can't swim." And old John just picks that little 5-year-old boy up and throws him out in the middle of the creek. And his mama comes running, "What are you doing?" "Well, he can't swim." She runs, "He can't swim. I know what he's going to now." And the little boy, and he told him, he said, "Kick, pull, kick and pull." And the little boy swam to the other side. He said, "Now come on back." And I said, "I can't believe you did that to my boy." He says, "He can't swim." Anyway, and then she let on that she couldn't swim. He looks at her and she takes off running. We need to get to the place that we understand God doesn't just take you, pick you up, and throw you out in the midst of a stream and say, "Swim. Sink or swim, you're on your own." He doesn't do that. So with whatever temptation, whatever it is, "I will make a way of escape. I'm faithful." You need to understand that, church. He wants to protect us from the forces of the demonic. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage. You've all read it. Chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And it goes on to speak about the armor of God. I encourage you to read that once in a while. He protects us when we face a battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle. You may see it as a flesh and blood battle. Sometimes things come against you, and it's definitely flesh and blood. But you got to recognize that there's a spiritual force behind it oftentimes. There's a spiritual force. Forgive me, Sister Penny, I'm going to use an example that has to do, or Robbie, with your cousin. And okay. And here recently, Sister Penny, Brother Robbie's grandmother died, and they all scattered from here. It was on a Wednesday evening, and after church then, I went to find Sister Penny because I wanted to, you know, tell her I was sorry and offer my condolences to the family. And I show up down their road, and I pull up. I seen all these people there at this one house. I thought, well, Penny's probably here. I didn't see her car, but she's got to be here somewhere. So I pull up there, and here comes one of the cousins. He's angry. I roll my window down and say, hey, how you doing? And immediately, you get off my property. Or get off this property. Get out of here. I mean, yelling obscenities at me and my wife. And she's scared to death, and she's locking the doors. And I said, okay, man, I'm out of here. I start backing up, and I smile at him. Wrong thing to do. He comes running at me then. I mean, I'm not remembering all the details, but he comes running at me. You get off here. I don't care who you are. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. It's ugly. And I'm just trying to be nice. I'm going to smile at you. I'm going to back up. He said, I said, man, I'm leaving. You get off my property now. I said, I'm leaving. I'm just trying to put my seatbelt on. I'm leaving. And I just rolled my window up. He come up and hit my window. If I'd had my window down, he would hit me. Now, okay, you say, that sounds terrible. Well, it was terrible. It was terrible. I'm frightened. My wife's frightened. Now, I wasn't as frightened as she was, or at least I wasn't showing it. This guy's bigger than me. He's younger than me. I mean, you understand, you know. I'm at the age I don't want to fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But here's the point to that. I didn't tell that to embarrass anybody. I told you there's something spiritual going on here. He's an ungodly man, led of the devil. I'm a spiritual man. And he saw that, and he didn't like that. That's all it was. It wasn't because he didn't like me. He didn't like what I stood for. You know, he knew who I was. He'd met me. But he immediately knew who I was and didn't want me there. Well, I didn't come to offer harm. I didn't come to interfere. I just came to say, I'm sorry that you lost your grandmother. If there's anything I can do, I'm willing to do it. I'm not asking to do anything. I'm just offering my condolences and my help to the family. But I left. I was told to never come back. But you understand, it wasn't just that man speaking. There was something behind that. It was a spiritual force at work. And it's still at work in his life until he gets saved. Now, what have you done about that, Pastor? Stayed away. And I've prayed for him by name. I've prayed for him. I've called him called his name out in prayer. Lord, this week again, I prayed for him. I said, Lord, help him. Save him. Because he needs saved. I don't think he dislikes me so much. It's the spiritual aspect of my life. You know, that's all it is. So you understand, our weapons, our warfare are not carnal, because we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in different places, high places. That's all that was. So I have to understand that's what it was. I guard myself against that. I don't want to get caught in a dark alley with him. You understand? I don't want to fight him. I don't want him to fight me. I don't want to hurt the guy. At least I hope I could hurt him. I don't think I could, but I hope I could. I thought about it, though, Sister Penny. Since then, I thought, I should have got out of there like David and said, hey, man, you come against me with flesh and blood. I come to you in the name of the Lord. But I think he would have hit me. And I didn't have the boldness to do it. And there's 10 other people there would have probably gathered with one of them big circles, you know. And every time he hit me, knocked him into him, they would have went, there you go, Gene. Get him again. No, I don't know that they'd do that. I'm just kidding. But there's spiritual darkness. And it's all around us. Sometimes the things you fight I make fun here, y'all understand, but this is serious. Sometimes the things you're fighting is because of the spiritual wickedness of this world, and oftentimes the people that are seem like they hate you the most, it has nothing to do with their attitude towards you. It's that attitude of that thing that is controlling them. The spiritual wickedness that has control of their life. I'm not saying they're possessed, but there's a controlling spirit that's controlling that sinner person's life, and they've give over to it. They don't even recognize it. They don't even know it. And we need to pray for them. But you see, we have the power. And we are overcomers. It doesn't matter how often they attack us. Doesn't matter how big the multitude of them is. Don't matter what their rank is. They are defeated by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Our Savior. So, understand that tonight. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. First off, we need to pray one for another. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to recognize that God is on our side, and we are overcomers, every one of us. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Did that help? Once I quit trying to be a Rodney Dangerfield or somebody... Well, I can't get no respect. I didn't hear him say it. Did he say that? No, that's an old one. You are victorious people. Understand that. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Isaiah, every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. It's the word of the Lord. Because of the Spirit in you. And He ought to rise up in you to fight the fight. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for this church. Thank you for this congregation that stayed around this afternoon to hear a little bit of your word and to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, that you'd keep your hand upon them this week. Help them, Lord, to walk victorious, to recognize the enemy, to fight him, to understand that we will not be defeated and we will not quit. We are led by the power, by the Spirit of God and empowered by the Holy Ghost to walk victorious. Bless them now, we pray again in Jesus' name. Amen.